Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. I know we've got several that are traveling and missing for one reason or another, but I'm glad to see everybody that's here. You know, Danny was talking about trying to look for that last song under H-E-A-R. Guess what? I was too. I think we both need to go back to school. But I know the Lord is faithful, isn't he? And we just need to come together and worship him. We don't have to put on a performance. We don't have to do so many things that we think we have to do to be the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm just going to launch out in faith today. I've had thoughts, and in a way that they're not directly related, and yet everything is related to Christ and who he is and what he's done, because his name is above every name. Yes. Problem is, we got a world that doesn't recognize that. And earlier this week, I had a very strong impression to go back and read something that I wrote, must be 45 years ago or so, and it has to do with, praise God, has to do with the valley of decision. And actually, I felt a freedom to go back and kind of just tweak it a little bit, update it, revise it, and I think we'll probably publish it at some point. But that particular expression comes from the third chapter of Joel. And there are some tremendous prophecies that some of them, of course, had their application to Israel in its day, but there were a lot of prophecies, a lot of things that he prophesied that had to do with our day. You remember how Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he was explaining what was going on, he referred to Joel and how the Lord in the last days was going to pour out his Spirit. And you can find that prophecy in chapter 2. And it actually puts that in a time frame where the day of the Lord is still future to that, but it's coming. So there's an era, as it were, that was launched by the outpouring of God's Spirit, and that was going to end with the expression, the day of the Lord. How many of you know when the Bible uses that expression, what's it talking about? I mean, what kind of a day is that? It's a day of judgment. It's a day of reckoning. And you see them throughout history in various levels, various scales, where a nation would come to a point where, all right, now it's time to deal with this nation. It's become so wicked, it's beyond hope. And now we're going to go, now it's time for judgment. That's all that's left. In a sense, the day of the Lord in Noah's day was what? The day the flood came, wasn't it? And for Sodom and Gomorrah, it was the day that the Lord got Lot out of there with his two daughters. But there is and of course, in Israel's day, in the time of Jesus, we see a day of the Lord that there was a day of reckoning for Israel, wasn't there? There was an outpouring of God's Spirit. There was a time frame when God dealt with the nation, and there was a great separation that took place where God absolutely called people into a time of reckoning. Either you're going to bow down to my Son and worship him and become part of my kingdom, or you're going to perish. That was exactly what was going on. And so we see the judgment of God that fell upon the nation that Jesus had specifically predicted. And so, you know, people are looking for all kinds of things to happen. What was it that Peter was looking for in chapter 3 of the second book of Peter? But Peter was looking for the day of the Lord. He was looking and expecting the day when we know that the other aspect of it is that God's going to gather his own, just as he did, just as he got Lot out of Sodom. But there's going to become a day when fire will fall and consume everything. There is a day of reckoning. We talked last week about God's calendar and how, you know, on an individual level, God's got your name on a calendar page, and he absolutely works in your life according to his time frame. Thank God that we're in his hands and not in ours. We would make a mess. How many of you know that when we ever try to take things in our own hands and work them out, that's all that happens. It's a big mess. But oh, we've got somebody into whose hands we can commit our lives, and who's promised to save us, promised to work until the end. Thank God. Everything that we sang about Jesus, lifting up that name a name to which we can look. But we are living in a world that's absolutely been called to what Joel is talking about. And let's see. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but there are a few verses in the middle of chapter 3 that I believe absolutely are relevant to us. And, let's begin in 12. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And that's a time of reckoning, of judgment. And there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. So this is not just limited to a particular outpouring of judgment within history. This is the grand picture. This is the end of the age. This is what Jesus was talking about. Heaven and earth, he said, will pass away. But my word will never pass away. And so this world is absolutely careening in the direction of destruction. It doesn't know it. But this is God's word to the world in this time. All right? Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. You get the language there, the imagery of a harvest, two harvests, as a matter of fact, that are growing up and maturing. And there comes a time when it's harvest time. Now it's time to do something about it. The entire purpose has been fulfilled. Come, trample the grapes. You know, you go into the book of Revelation and you see the same imagery and you see it as a symbol of God's judgment. There comes a God allows man to go so far. There is a freedom for man to make choices for which he is responsible in eternity. But there is also a time when, okay, now it's time for judgment. You have made your choice. And that's what's going on here. Come trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness. And here is the verse that prompted that particular article. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And then it talks about the judgment that's coming and how complete it is. And I believe with all my heart that, I don't know, there's something that in my spirit that felt like the Lord wanted to emphasize this. Because as I say, this world, if you're not paying attention, you need to. We live in a world that is making choices every single day. And God has reached out throughout the entire church age, but he continues to reach out in so many different ways to people to call them to bow down before his Son who sits on a throne right now and is awaiting the day on God's calendar when the Father says, go home, it's over. And we see again the pattern throughout history of nations and times and peoples when God has had to intervene because they've gone so far, there's no other way to go. There's no reclaiming anybody out of that particular group that's made its choice. And we are seeing the world absolutely make its choices today. And, you know, I feel for young people growing up today. Those of us who've got some age on us can remember a different time. There are things today that are celebrated that were talked about in hushed tones, if they were talked about at all when we were young. Who would have thought we would come to see the day when people who were either transgender or gay or something openly occupying positions of power and authority in the U.S. government and the U.S. military? God help you if you say anything about it. You are a hater. But the thing is, we certainly don't need to ever have a hateful spirit. God help us, because there are people who are caught up in every form of sin, not just that one, but every other one, because we're born into that. We're all born that way. There are people that God is still reaching out to and is able to reach. But how many people are there in our world who have absolutely chosen that lifestyle, chosen some of those things, and they're glorying in it? They're caught up in it to the point where they will shut you down if you dare to say anything about it. Well, God help us to be able to speak the truth in love and to stand. But it has its effect upon everybody, and people grow up to think, well, this is just normal. It's just, well, if they were born that way, what can you expect? God loves them anyway. God loves people, that's true, but I'll tell you, God loves us not in our sins, but to rescue us from them. You know, one of the things I read this week, after I was thinking about all these things, sad case. It was a teenage girl And she was making, she didn't define the details, but it was a radical choice to change into a man, into a male. I don't know how this was going to happen, but it was a one-way deal. And basically she said that she had 30 personalities living in her, and most of them were male, so she was going to sacrifice herself for their happiness. Ouch. I mean, you know, you read things in the Bible, and you read about people like Legion who had, you know, multitude of demons in them. Where do you think the inspiration for all of these things comes from? Yes, we've got a nature that gravitates towards self-will and self-pleasing in so many different ways, but we are living in a world ruled over by the devil. The world system is. Thank God there's a throne above that. But there is a world system that absolutely rules over the people who continue to rebel against Jesus Christ and the love of God that he showed in him. And they are pulled into every form of this. And now today you've got major companies, major players in the world, like Apple Computer, like Disney, who literally are consciously out there promoting these things, doing their best to shut down anybody who would say different, and promoting all of these corruptions. And they're not the only ones. And so this is the world you live in. And some of you, and of course now they're having, now they're absolutely, there are teachers doing their best to promote the ideas of transgenderism. You might be a boy, you might be a girl, you know, all this kind of stuff, to kids in you know, in kindergarten. And so the governor of Florida says you can't talk about those issues one way or the other until they're, you know, at least through the third grade, and everybody gets all upset about it. Folks, this is the world you're living in when sin has become normalized. And God help you if you say anything about it. I remember hearing a man who's, well, very influential in Christian circles make a simple statement. He said, "Truth is hate to those who hate the truth." It's that simple. And I'll tell you, God has not changed. His design for our livelihood, for our welfare, has never changed. His standard has not changed. And the reality is, we have seen people over the years grow up in this church. I'm not talking about any one specific thing, but I mean over the years. How many times have we seen people grow up, participate up to a point, and then reach a point in their life where there's some choice that has to be made, and they make a choice to follow their own nature. Maybe it's somebody they have a strong attraction for, a mate. Often that's what it is. Or a job or an opportunity or something. There's some lifestyle that they gravitate to, and somehow they can reconcile what they're doing with I still believe in Jesus. You got your ideas, I got mine. Do you think Jesus has changed? Do you think God's word has changed?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.